2 Corinthians chapter 6. I want you to look here at verse 14. We're going to read from that, starting that verse, the whole way down to chapter 7 and verse 1. So after you find out, if you're able to stand, if you could please stand just out of reading the Word of God. The Bible says here in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, look here at verse 14. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship have righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion have light with darkness? And what concord has Christ with Belial? And what part he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God, as God hath said, I will dwell in them, and walk in them, and will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. And I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Verse 1 of chapter 7. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you again for another opportunity that you have given me to be able to preach your word. And I pray, Lord, that you would help me with the message that you laid on my heart today. And Lord, help me to be clear. Help me to be able to bring it forth, that the brothers and sisters that are here be able to understand it. Lord, be able to apply it to their lives. And Lord, I pray that you would just do a great work in our midst today. I pray, Lord, if there be one that does not know you as their Savior, Lord, I pray that the Holy Spirit would have His will and His way, that we work on their hearts, that they would see their sinful condition and see how much you loved them, how you willingly died on Calvary's cross to pay their sin debt. And Lord, that you're offering them a free gift of salvation. I'm thankful that you don't force anyone, that you give it freely. And I pray that today would be the day that if there be one that does not know you, that they would accept you as their Savior. Be with the young people downstairs. Allow them to learn from the class. And Lord, I pray that you'd help Debbie as she's teaching them. And Lord, I just pray that you'd be with the rest of this service. We ask in Jesus' precious name. Amen. You may be seated. Get my water here. So as we're continuing this series, we started out talking about salvation. We talked about baptism, the right kind of baptism, what the Bible talks about. We talked about the rapture of the church, what the Bible says about the rapture of the church. We talked about eternal security. When God promised to save you, He saved you. We talked about evidence of salvation. We talked about heaven. Amen. And we'd like to think about heaven, how wonderful it's going to be. But we also talked about hell. And the reality is there is a place called hell. And we've gone through, spoke about missions and the responsibility as Christians of God wants us to be a witness for others. Amen. To bring people to Christ. We're not Calvinists. God wants us to go out and share the gospel with our friends. I've been tongue-tied this morning, so bear with me. Friends and neighbors and co-workers and those who do not like us. Amen. The truth is we need to be a witness. Amen. You will not see someone come to Christ unless you're willing to say something to them or someone else is willing to share the gospel. Yes, the Bible says nature itself declares there is a God. Amen. But the truth is God used His people. Amen. So we should be a witness. So we've gone through those different things. And now this morning, I don't know, maybe two part, maybe one part, we'll see how the Lord leads. But one thing that seems like back in the day it used to be preached, and now it just seems like for whatever reason, people don't preach what they should. Amen. And my responsibility as a pastor is to preach the whole counsel of God. One day God will give me, I will be held accountable for the things I preach. I will also be accountable for the things I do not preach. And that's a scary thing. It brings a fear of God that's in your heart because one day I know I'm going to give an account for it. And one of the responsibilities of a pastor is to preach the whole counsel, everything. Amen? Sometimes you'll hear someone will talk about jumping on a hobby horse or whatever and just staying on that message. Well, the reality is that's not helping you. Amen? And my desire is for you to grow spiritually in the Lord, and my desire is for the church to constantly grow for God. Amen? And sometimes there'll be messages you'll like and say, praise God, that's good, preacher. And sometimes there'll be messages will stump on your toes. Amen? I promise not to literally do that unless it's by an accident I'm walking by. Amen? And what that means is the message is going to get hit home, and the Holy Spirit will convict you on that. That's good. You want to go to church, and you want God to speak to your heart. Amen? If all you hear, and again, everything in the Bible is good. Amen? But if all you hear and you leave and you never get convicted of sin, there's something wrong. Amen? Because you have to preach the whole counsel of God. Amen? Not saying that you're going to have a problem with this. I don't think so. But if you do, please don't take it out on the messenger. Amen? You can talk to God about it. And if you ever hear anything, I mean this from my whole heart. I really do. If you ever hear anything and you have questions about, talk to me. Amen? Come up to me and talk to me and ask me about it. Do it in the right spirit. Any preacher with a grain of salt will love that. You'll make my day. You really will. You'll make my day. He came up and said, hey, you said this. Can you explain to me, or can you show me in the Bible? And you may want to say, Pastor, can you sit down first? Amen. So you don't give me a harder time just joking. Amen. But tell me, amen, and I'm going to show you. And if I can't show you or back it up in the Bible, then I'll have to say, you know what? You're right. Amen. And I will do that. Amen. Because you know why? I'm going to give an account. Amen. Just like one day you're going to give an account. You're going to give an account of your life. Thank God when you're saved, your sins are all under the blood. But you'll give an account of your works. Now, this message this morning, we're talking about back to the basics. We're going to talk about separation. What does God mean about separation? We read this portion of Scripture. I have quite a few verses to go through. But God wants us as Christians to be separate. Now, we could see here in verse 17, it says, wherefore come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. Now we'll go to other verses in the Scripture, so that way you can see, we don't take this out of contents, we'll go to other places. But ultimately, it's a command from God. God wants us to be separate. Now, please don't misunderstand. God's not saying that ultimately you buy a place up in the mountains that's up on the top where no one else is going to be around and being up there separate. Amen? That's not what he's referring to. That sounds nice though, sometimes, amen, to be able to go there. But the truth is, that's not where God wants us to be. When Debbie and I got married, we went on our honeymoon down in somewhere in West Virginia. Can't remember, it was called Big Bear, Black Bear or something resort down in West Virginia. And we had this nice little cabin that we went to, and we were down there. It was nice, amen, just to get away. And the reality is, after a little bit, we were thinking, you know what, I miss home. Amen. And we weren't living together before we got married, so we want to go home and start our life together. Amen. And so I don't mind going to the cabin once in a while. Amen. And it's nice, it's relaxing, but the truth of the matter is, God wants me here. Amen. And God has you here, so he wants you to hear. But talk about separation. So we could see it's a command from God, and the truth is, it's not done out of hatred or pride. And we'll get through this. When God tells us to be separate, it's not because we hate someone. Don't ever look down on someone. Don't ever look down on someone and look at someone and say, I'm better than she is. Because the truth of the matter is, there's something wrong in your heart. Amen? We should never look down on someone. We should never think that I'm better than someone else. The reality is, we're all in the same boat. Why does God want us to be separate? The truth of the matter is, it's out of protection. God wants to protect you. You may say, I know this is the philosophy of the world, not saying here, but the philosophy of the world. Philosophy of the world would say, but you do that, you're going to cause problems. Well, the truth of the matter is, you do that with your children. How many here would allow your children to go out and do anything that they want? Hopefully you don't. Amen. Do you ever have your son or daughter come to you and say, Mom, Dad, I want to go and do this. And you said, no. Why do you do that? It's because you care for them. Amen? You have some walls that you may have established in your family as saying, hey, I don't want you to go there. Do you ever have, maybe they would say something and say, hey, there's a friend that I want to go with and spend the night. You know that some details with that and you say, no, you can't spend the night there, you know? If they want to come over, they can come over to our house, but you can't go over there. And why are you doing that? Because you care. Amen? You're putting up those walls. And the truth of the matter is when we go through this, you'll understand it. Amen? So I'm just starting here, so bear with me as we go through it. God's doing this to put up walls to help you, to protect you. Amen? And we're going to go through, one is their separation speaks of sin. Amen? We're saved. Amen? If you've trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you are what the Bible says, born again. Amen. That means you're saved. Praise God for that. Amen. You can never lose that gift God has given you. But at the same time, God wants us to be separate from sin. What's that mean? He wants us to live a life that's holy to God. See, the reality is when you got saved, you still have your flesh that you battle with. I battle with my flesh every single day. That's why the Bible says, walk in the Spirit. If you would never have problems with your flesh, God would have never said, walk in the Spirit. Amen? The reason why it is because it's a choice. We have to make a choice. Every single day, you wake up and make that choice. But God wants us to keep sin out of our lives. Amen? And the truth is, we need to be separate from that. And I'll go through that. And the other part is separation spiritually. The truth of the matter is God wants that separation because ultimately it could hurt you spiritually. We're going to go through the scripture this morning, amen? So hopefully you have take some notes, amen, write it down, and go home and study it out. Look what the Bible says over here in the book of 2 Thessalonians. Over here to 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. See, where we find our answers is the scripture. That should be our final authority. What does God say on these matters? Look here in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. Now, I didn't write down every verse this morning, but there's quite a few verses that you could find on separation, speaking of spiritual separation. So we're going to start with that, a separation spiritually. Look what the Bible says here in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. Bible says down here, verse 6, now we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye withdraw yourselves from every brother that walketh disorderly and not after the tradition which he received of us. Amen. So ultimately, we can see here, God's saying separation. Amen. Now, again, don't misunderstand what God is saying because he gives us more details as you scroll over and look here in verse 14 and 15. It says, and if any man obey not our word of this epistle, speaking of the word of God, it says, note that man and have no company with him that he may be ashamed. Verse 15. Yet count him not as an enemy, but acknowledge him as a brother. Amen? See, God wants us to have a separated life. There may be someone, you think, doctrinally, they go through the scripture, and ultimately, doctrinally, they're teaching something that's false. And what God's saying is they're clearly false. If you hang around, what will happen is evil communications corrupt good manners. Amen? And what God's saying is ultimately, you keep around company, it's going to affect you. And what the scripture is saying is ultimately what we should do is try to encourage them in the Lord, try to get them to go to the scripture. Don't count them as an enemy. If someone is saved, amen, if someone is saved, they're their brother and sister in Christ. There's people that I know in this town that are saved. They're my brothers and sisters in Christ. But spiritually, we cannot fellowship with, amen? And the reason being is because there's some doctrinal problems. But I don't go around and look at them as an enemy. When I see them, I say hi to them. I'm friendly and kind with them. But the reality is, God is doing that for our protection. Amen? If you think about it, if as a church, and even as an individual, if you don't stand for anything, what are you going to stand for? Amen? The reality is, we have to stand on what the Bible says. We live in a society today, it's so politically correct, it makes me sick, amen? Now, please, I'm not a person that mean, I am not a person that goes around and speaks evil of people. I'm not speaking of that, amen? I think we should love people and care for people. But if you think about it, where do we draw the line? Well, we should draw the line where the Bible draws the line, amen? And what we need to do is realize in our lives that ultimately God's saying we need to be separate. Because the truth of the matter, I want you to think about this. What would you think if you came to church and ultimately I said, I'm going to have a special guest get up here and speak? Now, there's two kinds. This one is speaking of a brother. So this is someone that's saved, but doctrinally there may be some issues. And another one it talks about is someone who's not saved, amen, and never trusting in Christ, or they're believing in works, or believing in something else. What would you think if you came to church and I say, hey, I'm going to allow so-and-so to get up here who's not a Christian to speak? I'm going to have someone that gets up that's a Muslim and tell you about their false god. You would say, whoa, that ain't right. Amen? You would say, hopefully you would. Amen? Why is that? Well, because there's a line. Amen? You can't have it. What would you think if I had someone who came up and started teaching you that you're saved by works? The truth is, it would cause confusion. Amen? So you could see, God is saying there's difference of separation. One is speaks of a brother. Amen? Someone is saved is saved. Amen? They may have some false beliefs, but they're still a Christian. They're going to be in heaven when they get there. And then there's another that someone is not saved. And someone that's not saved, there's no way I will allow someone that gets up here that does not believe this Bible is the final authority. I will not do it. Matter of fact, before anyone comes and gets behind the pulpit, we have some missionary, we have an evangelist, we have other people that may fill in for me. Before they get up here, I sit down with them or I send something to them and say, hey, I want you to fill out some things. I want to find out what's your testimony. Tell me how you got saved. I asked them, I say, about baptism, you explain to me what baptism is. And I go through different things. There's a list that I go through. And ultimately, if they go through and check everything, and I pray about it, I'll say, praise the Lord, brother, I'll bring you in to speak. Amen. But if they go through and there's something that's checked, not checked there, saying they do not believe, they will not stand behind this pulpit. Why is that? Is it because of me? No. Because the truth of the matter is it will cause confusion. God saying to be separate. I remember it was probably about 4 years ago that I got a phone call from someone. Amen. And they're a Christian, they're a brother in Christ, amen. And I would never call someone not saved, amen. They may not agree with me, they may have some doctrinal issues, amen. But if they truly believe Jesus Christ saved them, amen, believe in the gospel, they're a brother and sister, amen, in Christ. And I remember this guy called me and said, hey, I got your name from someone, I want to come in and preach. And I said, well, I said, before I allow someone to come in to preach, I always like them to fill out a questionnaire because I want to know what you believe. And I remember this person filled out the questionnaire and gave it to me, and I saw it, and I'm thinking, oh, no, this is not going to be good. Amen. So I remember he gave me a call later and said, hey, did you get that questionnaire? I'm ready to come in. And I said, well, I did. And I said, but I have a couple questions I got to ask you. I said, you didn't check this. And he said, no, I didn't. I don't believe that. He said, but when I come to your church, I won't preach on that. And I said, well, I said, brother, I see that you trust in Christ as your Savior. I know you're my brother in the Lord, but I can't allow you to come in. You know, because the truth is you do not believe what the Scripture is teaching. That's going to cause confusion. And I remember him saying, but someone gave me your name. And I said, will you please go back and tell someone, make sure they don't give out my name again, if that's what you believe, amen. And it's not being mean. It's because the Bible is clear, we have to make sure we do that, amen? Because if not, it'll cause confusion, amen? Look what the Scripture says over here in 1 Timothy chapter 6. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, again, we need to be Bible-believing, amen? Bible-believing Christian, the separation, a spiritual separation. Look what the Bible says here in 1 Timothy chapter 6. Look down here, verse 3 through verse 5. The Bible says this in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 3 through 5. It says, "If any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness, he is proud, knowing nothing, but dotting about questions and strifes of words, whereof cometh envy, strife, railing, evil submissions, perverse disputing of men, a corrupt mind, and destitute of the truth. Supposing that gain is godliness," and look what God says, "from such withdraw thyself." Amen? See that separation. Look over here, go to 2 Timothy. And 2 Timothy chapter 2. And 2 Timothy chapter 2. In 2 Timothy chapter 2. You're already in 1 Timothy. Look over here to 2 Timothy chapter 2. Look what it says down here in verse 16 through 18. It says, "But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. And their word will eat as doeth a canker," you think like a cancer, "of whom is Harmonius and Philotimus, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some." We could see here, Paul, through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, wrote this down, and what was he saying to shun? Amen? Watch what they're saying. The reality is, I know that in a society that we live in today, a lot of times people will say, "Judge not." They use that first couple of verses of Matthew out of contents, "Judge not, and ye be judged, and with what judgment ye meet." But a lot of times when I see people like that, they're right in one aspect. There is a righteous judgment and there is a wrong judgment, right? And you continue to read in Matthew chapter 7, you know what you'll find? God tells you the right way to judge. And matter of fact, later on in verse 15, he tells you to watch out for false prophets. How are you going to know if someone's a false prophet unless you judge? Amen? You're going to have to analyze, right, what's there. Now, the judgment is based on Scripture, not on your opinion, not looking around saying, "I don't like how that guy dresses," or whatever, amen. It's not an outward, amen. You find out what they believe. But the reality is, God doesn't have a problem with righteous judgment. The truth of the matter is, God doesn't have a problem. Again, it's not slandering. There's difference. There's some people who will slander someone and will speak evil of them, and they're doing it because of the wrong reason. But look in verse 17. God even called out people by name. Now, that wasn't me, amen. That was God who did it. I'm telling you these things is because the reality is, as a pastor, one of the things is to preach the whole counsel of God. And there's sometimes, as a pastor, I will have to mention names of some people to say, "Watch out," amen, because of what they'll do. Look over here to the book of Romans, in Romans chapter 16. In Romans chapter 16, again, we're Bible-believing Christians, so follow what God tells us in His Word here. Look here in Romans chapter 16. Look what it says here in Romans chapter 16, down at verse 17 and 18. Romans chapter 16, verse 17 and 18. But a spiritual separation. In Romans chapter 16, verse 17 and 18, it says this. It says, "Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them." How are you going to mark them unless you analyze? Find out what they believe. Amen? "Mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them." That's not me. Amen? All I'm doing is reading. Amen? What's God saying? To mark them. Amen? Make sure that you know. And ultimately, what else is He saying? To avoid. It says, "For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple." What is he saying? Good words and fair speeches. You know, one of the things of a pastor is my job is not to entertain. Amen? And it's not saying you can't have jokes. It can't say you can't bring things in to make people laugh or whatever. But that's not one of the things that's a qualification that you have to be someone that's an entertainer. Amen? Because the truth of the matter is, I'm definitely not an entertainer. Now, if we had little boys and girls, amen, I'm a little bit better. I can get down on their level. It's easy for me to get down on a 5- and a 6-year-old level. Amen? It's not too far for me. Amen? But one of the things is, I'm not an entertainer. God doesn't want me to be an entertainer. Again, God's not opposed to jokes or whatever that could come up. But my job is to preach the whole counsel of God. And here, what is he saying is to mark them. Know them. And then ultimately, to avoid. Why is that? Because the truth is, if we're going to do that, if we're going to mark them, that means we need to know the truth. You need to know the truth of the Scripture. Amen? Don't ever take someone and follow someone blindly. Amen? Follow God. Find out what the Scriptures say and follow the Lord. But I want you to understand, not everyone that's out there that claims to be a Christian, some people are, amen, but not everyone that claims to be a Christian is a Christian. And even those who are Christians are not out to help you spiritually. I'm going to give you a few examples. Now, this person is pretty popular, amen? So if you listen to this person, don't throw me apples or anything like that, tomatoes or whatever. But hear me out first. I want you to hear me out. And then what you could do is go home and study it out, because that would be the most important thing to do, amen? You see the Scripture, go home and study it out for yourself. Now, there's someone that's extremely popular. I believe he has a church down in Texas. I believe that's where he is. Joel Osteen. Now, most people heard of Joel Osteen. As a matter of fact, when I was the company I'm working with, our HR person liked Joel Osteen, or she did. She's no longer with their company. She was a big fan of Joel Osteen. But to the best of my knowledge, I don't know if she was a Christian. And it would always amaze me, and I would ask her, and I'd say, well, why are you going to his conferences that he has, you know, because I don't think she was a Christian and everything. And she would always say, well, he's a motivational speaker, you know, and I'm thinking, well, that'd be a good way to put there. But Joel Osteen, do you know Joel Osteen was out on Larry King Live? Now, I don't watch Larry King Live, but you can go and find things. You know, Joel Osteen, when he got up and started to speak to Larry King Live, Larry King asked some questions, and I went through, and you can find the interview. You can, if you get on Google, you can Google it and find it. And Joel Osteen himself, when asked questions, he said something to the nature, I'm just going to paraphrase it. He said, do you believe that Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven? So you're telling me that those that are Muslims, those that are Jews and others, he said, I can't tell you that. Can you imagine that? He said, he went and gave another example. He said him and his dad, I can't remember. He said, we go to India. Now, India is Hindus. We have a missionary that goes to over to India to reach the Hindus. And matter of fact, there's great persecution that's happening over in India today. You need to pray for the Christians that are there. They are literally trying to cleanse their country of any Christian. I mean, it's really bad. Pray for him. His name is Jeff Colt, last name. But pray for him. There's sometimes he won't even take his family over there, or he won't put them in certain parts of India because the Hindus will try to kill them. You know, so stay. Pray for him. But anyway, this is what he said in India. He was talking about India. So India is mainly Hindu. He said, I know these people are sincere. And they worship God. And I'm not going to judge them. My Bible says that it's only through Christ. You know, there's a lot of people that listen and follow Joel Osteen. You go out and look on the internet, and you know what you'll find? He said that. He said that on national television. Now, if you didn't hear of that, go out and search it for yourself. But there was people that ultimately wrote into him and say, what are you doing? It's only through Christ. How in the world can you get up and preach and ultimately not say, well, there may be another way for them? My friends, what the Bible is very clear, amen? The truth of the matter is, stay away. If someone cannot tell you that Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven, what are they believing? He's either God like he said, or he's not. Amen? And I'm telling you, there's other people that are out there where ultimately they won't preach the truth. Now, I have been criticized. People say, well, you shouldn't say that. Well, I got Scripture to back up. Amen? It's my job as pastor to warn people, to mark, and to tell. He's going to lead you astray. Sometimes it's not everything people say. Amen? Sometimes it's the things they do not say. They'll make you really wonder. You know, I'm not opposed to positive messages. Amen. Sometimes I think people just dwell on the negative. They wake up in the morning and, you know, they're just sad as sad can be. And they go sad throughout their day. I don't think we should do that. Amen. I think we should, you know. But the reality is, Truth is, you're going to have problems in life. And the truth of the matter is, that's just one example. If you read through some of the other things that he actually said, it'll make you think, why is it that he has a great following? Well, I'm going to tell you. Look over here to the book of, I think it's 2 Timothy. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, see, he also has a problem calling sin, sin. Amen. If it's sin, it's sin. Amen. But look over here to 2 Timothy chapter 4. Now again, I'm not saying Joel Osteen saved or not saved. Amen. I'm not saying that. If he truly trusted in Christ as his Savior, you know, he believed on the Lord, he's saved. Amen. And maybe he's going off on a, being confused. I personally think it's because of it. He likes the offerings coming in, and now I know he has changed lately and says no, he doesn't take anything in the offerings because people start to say something to him, and now he just tries to get you to buy his books. Amen. Just give him a love offering of $85,000 or whatever it is. Amen. But anyway, look here in 2 Timothy chapter 4. Here's in verse 1. This was the Apostle Paul telling the young preacher what to do. Amen. What is he saying? I charge thee therefore before God and Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom. What do you say? Preach the word. Don't preach opinions. Preach the word. The most important thing as a pastor to do is preach God's word. If I don't preach God's word, I'm not going to help you. It says, be instant in season. It was popular over 100 years ago. Amen. Preach some of the messages, preaching a message on hell. It's not popular today. It is not popular today when you call out someone that truly preaches either a false doctrine or they're teaching doctrines or other things. That's not popular. Most people will say, let's come together. How in the world can you come together? You know, how in the world can I come together? What is it? The World Council Churches. I remember one time when I was working at Citibank. I'm running a rabbit trail, but to give you an example. When I was working at Citibank, they were having a prayer at Citibank, and I thought it was pretty neat, amen. And I remember talking to the lady that was organizing it, and I said, well, I just got a question. When you go out there and pray, you know, who's allowed to come? And she said, everyone. And I said, so you're going to be out there with the Jewish people, Muslim, and other people. I knew what it was. I knew what she was saying. And I tried my best to stay out of it. I didn't want to cause any problems, but usually someone asked my opinion. When someone asked my opinion, they're going to be in serious trouble because I'm going to give it to them, right? And she said, but why won't you go? And I said, well, because I don't pray to the same God as they do. I wasn't being mean. I was just being truthful. Boy, did they get mad at me. But the reality is, it's the truth. Not everyone, you know, you may be sincere about God. That doesn't mean that you're going to heaven. When 9/11 happened, those people that murdered their fellow Americans and went into that, took a plane and went into there, they were very sincere about their false God. Very sincere. But they were sincerely wrong. Amen? They do not know the God of heaven. Because you can only know Him through Jesus Christ. See, the reality is, we do believe in separation. Sometimes we just don't think it, amen? But we do. And it goes on and says, preach the word, be instant in season when you like it, out of season when you don't like it. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Here it is, verse 3. For the time will come where they will not endure sound doctrine. People won't like it. You know, the Bible says, I think it's in 2 Thessalonians, one of the signs of the end times will ultimately be a falling away. People will not like that anymore. Amen? And you're here, amen? That's a blessing. It says, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. What is it that you want me to preach? Amen? Well, I'm not going to hit on that subject. Miss Elma will never come again. Amen. Well, if I preach on that message, Miss Melissa, I almost called you Elma. Amen. Melissa, she won't like that service. And she'll never come back. Then I'm not doing my job. You know? Shame on me as a pastor to not to get up and tell you the whole truth. Amen. And the reality is, you like the message, or if you don't like the message, amen, I'm going to give an account. You imagine me standing before God one day and God saying, hey, why didn't you preach this message? Oh, if I preach that message, Miss Elmo is never going to come. Is it my word? Didn't I tell you to preach it? Well, yeah, Lord, but wasn't it more important that she came? Well, no, it's more important that you be obedient. Amen? You've listened and preached the whole council. I will work on her heart. Amen? If she likes it or she doesn't like it. But the truth is, it says preach the word. And what's he saying? Teachers having itching ears. There's people out there who will preach messages because their goal is to gain a big crowd. No, please don't misunderstand. I love to see a day where this church building is filled. I love to see a day where we knock down these walls and ultimately have more people come in. But if that's the only way that's going to happen is for me to compromise what I preach, to get away from the Bible, I'd be better off just to quit. Because the truth is, I don't want a church like that. Hopefully you don't want a church like that. Amen? Hopefully you want a church that says, hey, just tell me like it is. When I go to my doctor, that's what I tell him. You just tell me, doctor, like it is. Amen? Sometimes I'm a little slow. You just tell me. Be blunt with me. What is it that I have? Amen? And the truth of the matter is, there's people that are going to churches because they have itching ears, and that's the kind of person that they have, and they're thinking, whoa, our church is growing. It must be right. There was an old-time preacher. And he had one of his preacher boys with him, and they were going to a meeting. And as they were going to this meeting, he asked him, he says, Pastor, why is it? He said, you're preaching the messages. And he said, you know, these messages are right from God. He said, why isn't our church growing? He said, I'm looking at other churches, and I'm seeing these churches are extremely expanding. And he looked at him, and I can't remember who the preacher was. But as they were driving down the road, they saw a dog that just died. I like dogs. I don't like to see dogs that die. But anyway, he saw this dog that died and was laying there. He said, you see that dog? He said, I do. He said, I'll tell you about that dog a little bit later. And then they drove by and they went through their meetings. And every single day they drove by that dog. He said, you see that dog? He said, yeah, I see him. And by the second week as the meeting was over, he drove by that dog. He said, you see that dog? He said, what changed? He said, that dog got bigger, didn't he? He said, yeah, that dog expanded. He said, let me tell you. He said, if you go over to that dog, he said, that dog may be growing, but you go in and you put your finger. Don't do that, right? You put your finger there. Let me tell you what's going to come out. You're not going to like. That dog is dead. You know, sometimes there's churches that may be expanding, but what's going to come out is just like that dead dog. Amen? Just because something's growing does not mean it's right. And just because something's not big doesn't mean it's right either. Amen? How do you know that? Well, Noah was a preacher of righteousness, and he just won his family. God called him a righteous man. As a matter of fact, the seven churches that are in the book of Revelation, do you know there's only two churches that God did not have a problem with? They were actual churches. And those two churches, one of them was greatly persecuted. And God said, after a certain period of time, you're going to die. And the other church was a church of Philadelphia. He said, you have little strength. Now, please, I'm not misunderstand what I'm trying to communicate here is God didn't have a problem with two churches that weren't probably big, didn't have everything in the world, but God didn't have a problem with them. Remember the churches that God did have a problem? Remember the church that's called Laodicean Church? They were lukewarm. And God said, what did he say? He said, you have everything. He said, but you don't have me. He said, and remember later he says, I stand at the door and knock. You think about it, that church had everything. And God Almighty is standing outside knocking. Amen. Now again, please don't get me wrong. You can have a good church that's big. Amen. I know of good churches that are really big in size. They preach doctrinally. Amen. There's nothing wrong. But what do we see here in verse 4? And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. My friends, can I tell you, what we need to do is watch. Find out, what does people believe? What do they truly believe? What do they stand on? Amen? My friends, again, I'm not against people that stands for the truth. I will not say that someone is not my brother and sister in Christ. I won't, if they truly trust in Christ. But I will have to warn and tell people, hey, this is what they're preaching. And it's wrong. And it's going to hurt you. What's his name? No, don't throw apples at me, amen. If you do throw apples, make sure they're Macintosh. I love Macintosh apples. They're some of the best apples to eat, amen. But Rick Warren, I know Rick Warren is another big guy. You know, Rick Warren has no problem with the Pope. You know, the Pope does not believe in salvation by faith, truly. He believes in works. See, there is a major problem with that. Now, I know that's not popular preaching, but it's the truth. And ultimately, I have heard people say, you should never mention names. Well, I have a Bible verse where God mentioned names. Can you show me a verse where it says not? Now, I'm not doing it out of slander. I'm not. That's wrong. If I get up here and say, I don't like Miss Elmer, and that's slandering. Amen? That's wrong. Biblically wrong. But there's nothing wrong calling out the truth. Mark them. Avoid them. Why? Because my desire as a pastor is to help you. We won't go to all the verses today. You remember when the Apostle Paul was with the other disciples and the preachers? Remember in Acts chapter 20, what did he tell them? He said, I preach the whole counsel of God. He said, but when I leave, he said, there shall be wolves that will enter in among you. He said, not only that, there should be those who rise up of us to ultimately try to take away disciples. What was he doing? Warning them and saying, hey, find out. See, what I'm doing is, and I won't go through all the verses because there's tons of other ones, amen. You think about cults. Stay away from cults. That's pretty easy to know. In 2 John chapter 1, in verse 7 down through verse 10, what does God say? If one of those come to your door, knock on your door as a cult, the Bible says, don't even allow them into your house. Amen? Don't allow them into your house. Don't bid them Godspeed. Amen? Why? Because the truth is, they don't know Christ as their Savior. I'm not saying some of these people that are cults. Amen? Don't misunderstand. I'm not saying they're not saved. Amen? Don't misunderstand. But what I'm saying is, if they're teaching a false doctrine, you need to be warned. See, it's a spiritual separation. That is not a popular message. We live in a politically correct society today where it says you just have to give all these flowery messages. And if I do that, I have failed you as a pastor. Failed you. I don't want to fail you. Amen? I don't want to fail God. That's my desire, to please God. Am I perfect? I am not perfect. I'll be the first to admit that I'm not who I should be. I'm thankful I'm not what I was. Amen? I'm saved. But the reality is, I love this book. And the Bible's saying what we need to do is make sure we examine. Find out what they believe. You may have books at home. Amen? The best thing for you to do is go home, search it out. Because when you search it out and you see the truth, you're going to change because God wants you to. I'm telling you, it's true. You'll find it. You can go and search it. You'll find it. Search it out. And you'll come to the same conclusion. And the conclusion you'll come to is what the Bible says, to mark them and to avoid them. Again, in 2 Thessalonians, what he's saying, don't treat them as an enemy. You know? Treat them as a brother. To love them. To pray for them. But the reality is, realize, not everyone's out for your good. Let's close in a word of prayer as Rachel comes forward for the invitation. With eyes closed and no one looking. Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for helping me to be able to preach this message. And Lord, the reality is we need to have that spiritual separation in our life. Make sure what we believe is based on the Bible. Make sure those that influence us around us, Lord, that they are following you and the truth of the Word. And Lord, that when there are those that teach a false doctrine, Lord, that we would see that and understand that. And I pray that you'd use this message today, that you would help us as Christians to live for you and help us as Christians to examine, find out what the Bible says, and to be able to follow you with our whole heart. Lord, I thank you for these people. I thank you for their patience. Lord, I believe they have a desire to hear the truth. And Lord, I pray that they would apply this to their hearts and their lives. We ask all in Jesus' name, with eyes closed and no one looking.